Good morning, everyone. How do you feel? Good? I don't know if today I just feel a bit low. I don't know why. I slept. Everything's okay at home. But different days, we do feel differently, don't we? Some days are good, some are not so good. So just pray with me as we look at this scripture now, really for a kind of inspiration, because at the moment I don't feel inspired at all. I feel like going to watch the cricket and sit in front of the television. But I'm sure I'm not meant to do that, so let's just pray together. Father, we come before you into your presence now. We come to your gates with thanksgiving, and we enter your courts with praise. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, and we ask now that through your Holy Spirit you would bring a flame of love into our hearts, that we would see Jesus and we would see your love for us and we would respond to it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as Gerald mentioned, for the next few Sundays we're going to look at giving, and we're looking at giving through the lens of the generosity of God. And we have two readings today, New Testament, a famous reading that most of us are familiar with, the story of the widow's mite. And we have the reading in Elijah about Elijah going to a widow and she gives the last of her food and it continues to nourish Elijah, herself and her son. I'm not going to look at that reading. I'm going to concentrate on the New Testament one. And I just want to kind of set the scene for this. It's teaching from Jesus to his disciples. That's what this story is about. And we want to try and understand what his teaching is for us today. And so what the scene is that in chapter 12, Jesus has gone into the temple. And while he's been at the temple, the elders and the teachers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, are challenging him and questioning him. And they've asked him about his authority. Where does he get his authority from? And when he answered that, they try and trap him with a number of questions. One is they ask him about taxes. Should they pay taxes to the Romans, etc.? And then they ask him about the resurrection, because some of the Jews believe in the resurrection and others don't. And then they ask him about the greatest commandment. So they're basically trying to trap him. Right. And when all that's over, he kind of steps to one side with his disciples, and we have this reading, which is Mark 12:41. And it says, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple. So I want to explain to you the temple, because again it kind of sets the scene. And I'm going to be a bit kind of like provocative with it. But the temple had various courts. So the outermost court was the court of the Gentiles. So I want you to kind of imagine that the court of the Gentiles is outside the church, if you like. Or maybe it's kind of through that door. There, right? And Gentiles can only go that far. They can't go any further. And it's where all the business went on. Right? It was more like a bazaar, really, than anything to do with a church or a service. And then the next court was called the Court of Women. I'm sure you're all getting very excited now. And the Court of Women was where women and men could go. So it was a mixture. It wasn't just for women. But the point being that women could not go any further. They weren't allowed to go into the next court, which was the court of Israel. And that's where the men could go. So if you like, maybe the church here is the court of women, and actually you went up about 12 steps to go into the court of Israel, which is where the men were. So these are 12 steps from the court of women into the court of Israel. And remember, women, you can't cross that step. Okay. And then as you go forward, you go to the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. And that's where the priest could go. And the Holy of Holies, the priest could only go in once a year on the Day of Atonement. So that's the temple. And I want us to kind of think of that, because Jesus is sat now. He's probably been inside arguing with all these men, Pharisees and Sadducees, the elders, inside in the court of Israel. He now actually comes out into the court of women, because it's in the court of women around the sides that you have what's called the treasury. And what the treasury was 13 big brass containers with a narrow top and then a big bottom to it, and that's where people put the offertory. And notice it was where the women were. Okay? And of these 13 containers, 11 were voluntary and were for different things, but two of them were for the temple tax, which was kind of not voluntary. Everyone should pay it. Okay, have you got the scene? So he's mixing in the kind of court of the women, women and men all together. He's had this big discussion inside, and now he's just sat down quietly with his disciples to one side, perhaps resting, and he's watching what happens, and the people are coming and dropping in their money. So let me start reading now. Verse 41, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. I think you can imagine it, can't you? You know, kind of nice gowns, etc., rich, etc., and they're all coming along, and there's this brass container. Remember, there's no notes, it's only coins, and you kind of drop in a lot. Bang! And you try and make a bigger noise than anybody else. Maybe they're all penny bits, but you know, you're impressing by kind of giving. And remember, quite a lot of voluntary, so you know, you're demonstrating that you're giving and kind of demonstrating to others. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. So in the story, there is a comparison. The comparison, first of all, is many rich people and a poor widow. And the second comparison here is they put in large amounts and she came and dropped 2 small coins. Okay? The 2 small coins, the Greek word is lepton, and it's literally like a farthing, or today it would be a penny. But it's really the smallest denominator you can have. And she's a poor widow. Widows own nothing. A widow, the woman was the property of the man. When the man died, the widow actually became the property of the brother-in-law. And she had no land, nothing, and she was really, it was up to him how well she was looked after. And this woman's a poor widow, so kind of got nothing. The many rich people drop in a lot. The poor widow drops in 2 small coins. And what interests me about that was she had 2 coins, but she didn't keep one for herself. She dropped both in. So Jesus observes that. Then he goes to one side with his disciples, and he says, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions, For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything that she had to live on. So now Jesus also does a comparison that they give a part, but she gives all. They've given a lot, but she's given a little. But I think what he's saying is, in some ways, it's not the portion that you give, but the proportion. She's giving everything. So that's the story. It's a kind of very simple story in some ways, but I think with deep meaning. So the question now is, what does it mean for us today? As disciples of Jesus, what is he teaching us? And I want to start with the question, does it mean we are to give all, everything away? Well, she gave her 2 coins, so should we give all our money away? Is that what it's saying? And the answer is no, because we know in other parts of Scripture that we're not challenged to give everything away. We know that Paul kind of took collections for the saints, but he didn't say to people, you have to give everything away. So it's not that Jesus is saying, when she gives all her money, all her 2 coins, that he's telling us that we are to give all away. That's not what it's about. So what is it about? I want to ask 3 questions. First of all, I guess we all give. Is that right? I shouldn't ask that, should I? No. But I'm assuming kind of in different ways all of us give in some ways. So we kind of know that. We know that we give. So my first question is, who do we give to in our thinking? So when I thought about this for myself, my immediate thing was, well, I give to the church. I have a, you know, standing order, St. James. And I give to Jigsaw. And I give to Mission Possible. I always want to call it Impossible. But and I give to charities like that. And that's the way I think about it. And that thinking is wrong. Because that is me giving to other people. What this is about is giving to God. Here, the money was going into these buckets. And I imagine those many rich people were thinking, we're giving to the temple. Right? We're giving to Jewish culture, we're giving to the religion. But that widow wasn't. That widow, in giving her 2 little coins, was actually giving to Yahweh, to God. And so I think the first thing we have to get from this, how does it apply to us, is in our own mindset, when we give, who are we giving to? Like, to have that kind of clear, because that will, I think that will change everything. It's very different if I'm giving to the Diocese of Ely than if I'm giving to God. I can promise you the motivation is different. Right? And if we think we're giving to the diocese, then it's going to be, it's not right. So we're giving to God. So who are we giving? Now the second question, after who are we giving, why are we giving? What's our motivation? And again, if I think for myself, the biggest, the 2 things kind of come. One is, well, I ought to. You know, it's kind of somehow expected. It's a kind of responsibility. I ought to give. Tithe was in the Old Testament. There's no tithe in the New Testament. There's no command from Jesus to give 10%. We sometimes think there is, but there isn't. It's not like we give 10% and then we're okay as Christians. that there's a sense of, why do I give? Well, maybe I ought to. Then there's the other side, well, if I give to, you know, Mission Possible and Jigsaw and so on, I'm giving to help those needy people, to help those kids and so on. And I think that's right. You know, I think it's okay that, but it shouldn't really be the prime motivation for giving as Christians. The reason we give, or the motivation in the widow, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the motivation for our giving should be a response to God gave Jesus for us. That should be our motivation. It's not that we ought to. It's not out of guilt. It's not necessarily out of others' need. It is a response to God's love. That's why the widow gave. Right? It was her way of responding to God's love. That's why she's in the temple, this poor widow. She's giving her praise and her worship to God, and giving everything, her last two coins, out of love. Let me try and give a kind of analogy. It's not a very good one, but maybe it'll hit home to some of you. I had a birthday. Let me back up 1 minute. When it's why we give, and if we're giving to God, then the question kind of comes up, does God need it? Does God need our money and our things? And the answer is no, of course. Right? God doesn't need it. It's not the physical thing that's important to God. That's why in this story, it's not the amount they gave. It was the two little coins. That's what mattered. Not the amount, but what's behind it. So God doesn't need our things. It's he wants us. And our giving is a demonstration of our love to him. It's responding to his love to us. So the analogy is this. I had a birthday a couple of weeks ago. And for my birthday, I got quite a lot of presents. And if I look at those presents that I got, kind of a shirt and socks and I don't know what, I didn't need any of them. You know, I've got lots of shirts, believe it or not, and socks and so on. I didn't need, people were giving them because you give at birthdays, and you know the story, they all come around and say, what do you want? Oh, I don't want anything, I've got everything, you know. And it's true, but they still give you something. But one thing I got was this. A card. Yep. Now, you might kind of say, well, you know, I'm sure you got lots of cards. Well, I did get lots of cards. But this is the card that mattered. Some of them were funny, some of them were nice, some etc. Some of them cost a lot of money, some perhaps not a lot, but something. But this cost no money. It's handmade. Right? It says, happy birthday to the best grandpa. To grandpa, happy birthday. I hope you have the best day and thank you for being the best grandpa I could ever ask for. Lots of love, and I won't say who. Okay? Now, why is this my best present? Nothing to do with the cost. Right? It's all to do with the fact that it took time and motivation and is a real, if you like, demonstration of love right to me. That's what I want, not the things. And it's the same with God. So what does he want from us? Yes, he wants us to respond to his love to us as shown in Jesus. And that's what the widow was doing. So who do we give to? We give to God. Why do we do it? As a response to his love and generosity to us, everything that he's given us in life. And now the question is, well then, what do we give? What do we give? I just want to read one verse again. It's a kind of common, famous verse, but it's relevant to this. It's Romans 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So what does he want? He wants us. That's what he wants. He wants our love back. In the Old Testament, we read a lot about sacrifice. You know, all the animals and so on. And we find it a bit difficult, don't we, to kind of get our heads around it. We certainly don't make animal sacrifices today. And one of the sacrifices, if you look it up in Leviticus 1, the main one was called a burnt offering. And the burnt offering was an animal, you could have different sizes depending on how rich you were, and you brought it every day, and it was voluntary, and it was totally burnt to God. What's all that about? Well, what it's all about is demonstrating one's thankfulness and love back to God. Because the animal was the most precious thing you had. You didn't have money. You didn't have coins. Your wealth was your animals. And God said, I want the best animal, the one without blemish. Right? The real nice one. That's the one you're to bring as a sacrifice. Why? Because you want? No. Because you were then valuing God. You were demonstrating your love to God by giving this sacrifice, this burnt offering. It was voluntary. It was every day. And so, who do we give to God? Why do we give? As a response to him giving his son Jesus for our lives, for our forgiveness of sins, for our eternal life. What do we give? Everything. We give our time. We give our talents, we give our possessions and our money as is required, not because of guilt or whatever, but just as a love offering when he needs it to do. Penny and I worked in Tanzania. I'm going to finish now. Penny and I worked in Tanzania for a number of years. And when you went to church in Tanzania, I don't know what it was like in Nepal, Alison, but when they took collection, then everybody stood up, right, and row by row, they came forward to the front. And there was collection boxes at the front. And you had your two farthings or your big coins or whatever, and you walked up and you held this hand with that one and you dropped it in. Did they do the same in Nepal? Or? No. I don't know why. I don't know what it was, but everyone did it. You held this hand and you kind of dropped the coin in. And I remember our minister of the church, the Tanzanian minister, once talking about giving and the collection and everything. And he said this story, and I don't know if it was true or it was one that he'd heard or whatever. He said, being in the service, and everyone was coming forward, and there was this boy, right, who was scruffy and dirty and so on. And as all the people came forward and kind of put their money in, the boy came forward, took the collection pot, put it on the ground, and stood on it. I give myself. That's all I've got. I give myself. I give everything. And that's what God wants. Our financial giving is only a demonstration of our heart giving, of our worship and praise to God. He is a generous God who has done many, many things for each one of us. If we look back at our lives, there's many, many things to be thankful for in our lives. and he just wants us to give back as a demonstration of our love to him. Amen.